There is a friendship between brothers. It's colder-hearted than the love of a parent, but it's also a lot more direct and simpler. And something else. You can always make your mark on a brother. You can mold him. He cannot refuse you. The power of a brother over a brother is great and cannot be set aside. It's almost impossible for an older brother to resist being a bully, and Abby was no exception. But to make up for his occasional cruelty and more frequent bruising physicality, he was also filled with largesse towards me, his younger brother, and toward our sister Phyllis, often surprising us with gifts or saying things to make us laugh. In his autobiography, Abby describes how I always seemed to be right in harm's way whenever he was wielding a hammer or a golf club.
Jack's my younger brother, not an easy thing. If we were building a tree hut and the hammer fell, Jack's head was always somewhere beneath, waiting. If I was swinging a golf club, driving golf balls into yonder neighbor's windows, for some reason Jack always managed to straighten the tee at the right moment to get a whack.
My memory differs from his, where he was willing to summarize our relationship, willing almost to reduce it to comic strip proportions. I remember it as complex and changing. I suppose that difference in perspective is typical between a younger and an older brother. Memory erases pain, and sometimes early pain is transformed into something we later cherish. Once when Abby was about 8 and Phyllis 3, Abby hoisted her onto his shoulders to pilfer some candy from Uncle Shmuley's ration kit hidden in a high cabinet in the kitchen. Afterward, Abby unintentionally pushed our little sister into a radiator, cutting her head open. Years later, when a cosmetic surgeon suggested removing the scar, Phyllis, by then a lovely, mature young woman, refused because the scar helped her remember her brother. One day, while Abby and I were wrestling, Abby kneed me in the nuts. The combination of pain and the sense of betrayal I felt left me bawling. After something terrible like that, Abby would lead me back upstairs to our bedroom, our private domain, and spend an hour teaching me to play chess, not out of pity, but perhaps with an instinctive knowledge that the moment of defeat was among the ripest moments for instruction. In chess, he taught me that you got to think 7 moves ahead. When you're playing a guy who's thinking only 3 moves ahead, you're going to beat the shit out of him. Until I was about 12, we played frequently, sometimes daily. Eventually, I improved by his instruction to the point where I could give him a game. Then he changed the rules to 10 seconds a move. One day, I beat him at 10-second chess, and he never played against me again. Later, I learned what it meant to play by Abby's rules. We were playing mini football tackle in the living room. As soon as he hiked the ball to me, I called for a quick kick, not something you usually do in a living room ball, and immediately kicked the ball into Abby's teeth. With blood filling his mouth, Abby had the good sportsmanship to giggle and then laugh out loud. He didn't mind being beaten. He loved a street fight, win or lose. Once every decade or so for the rest of his life, on occasions when we were together, Abby would bear the chipped tooth, smile, and remind me of the day. I wouldn't know how to explain the intensity of the occasional flashes of violence, except to say that at such moments, the rage we felt was as real as the love was at other times. We weren't timid or repressed about expressing anger. It came and then passed and was forgotten.